the empty seats around you, they have a voice. Can you hear the voice of the empty seats? Is the voice of the empty seats saying, if you fill us, you'll make the church budget? If they're saying that, then they're speaking with the voice of the world. Are the empty chairs, are the voices saying, if you fill us, you will be a success. You will be deemed a successful church. And because you're successful, others will want to join you. Well, if these empty chairs are saying that, then what they're saying is they are speaking on behalf of the voice of pride and consumerism. Are the empty chairs saying to us, I have legs but cannot walk, but there is a soul out in your community that is represented by this empty seat? Are the chairs that are empty saying to us that there are people out in our community that are in bondage, that have chains of sin, chains of deception, the lies of the evil one wrapped around them, and they desperately need to be set free? Each one of us that sits here today is sitting very close to an empty seat. Are the seats saying, each one of us that sits here empty represents a person in our bond that is in bondage in our culture? They have bought into the lies of the world and the allure that it all represents, and they need to be set free. In Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus is with the Pharisees, and he is being insulted by them. And the reason he's being insulted is because he spends his time with tax collectors and sinners. In response to that, he tells two stories, both of which Diane read for us this morning. A story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered away. And what this shepherd does, despite the interruption in his life, beside the frustration that comes in having to do so, he leaves the 99 in order to go and find the one. And when he finds the one, he rejoices with joy, abundant joy. And then Jesus tells another story about a woman who has 10 coins, and she's lost one of those coins. And despite the interruption in her life, despite the frustration of losing one of those coins, she relentlessly tears apart her home in order to find that one lost coin. And when she finds it, despite the interruption, she shares her joy with others that the coin has been found. The point of Jesus telling these stories is that this is the type of attitude that he desires within his followers. The followers of Jesus should see these parables in light of the human condition and the human soul. You see, for Jesus, empty chairs mattered. Not because synagogues were empty, but because they represent something. They represent somebody's soul. Somebody that is bound in chains by sin. Despite the potential conflict of political powers and the ridicule that Jesus received from church leaders, Jesus says that if one human soul can be released from bondage and brought into a relationship with Him, that His people ought to keep looking, ought to keep seeking for that one lost soul. And what he says at the end of these parables is when that happens. When the lost soul is found, when the sinner is redeemed and set free from the chains of the bondage of sin, the angels throw a party. The angels rejoice. Are the empty chairs in this room saying to us, when the chains of separation from God are broken, the angels are having a party? Are you bringing anyone? Whether the Apostle Paul had ever heard these two stories of Jesus, we don't know. But here's what we do know. Paul lived as if he knew them. It is the reason why he is writing to the Philippians from a prison cell. Paul is in chains. But he knew that the human soul that needed the bondage of the world broken was a reality because he himself had experienced Jesus on the Damascus Road, where Jesus broke the chains of Paul's life and set him free into the newness of what he called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And because Paul was intimate with God and had been transformed by the power of his Spirit, Paul's desire was to take what he knew and what God had compelled him to do and to fill empty chairs. Empty chairs with chains wrapped around them. Participating in what God is doing in breaking the chains of sin over people's lives. Paul's RSVP list for the celestial party was growing. Because despite the opposition to his efforts, by participating in the grand rescue project of God, souls were being transformed. And for Paul, the joy of seeing people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ far outweighed the chains. You see, Paul was willing to wear chains in order that others might have their chains lifted. And despite his chains, what we see in the text is that Paul's ministry was reaping a harvest. That the gospel was advancing despite Paul sitting in a prison cell. So as we consider this, and Paul deeming his ministry, despite being in prison, as a success, he writes these words as we continue to read the letter to the Philippians. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. So, Father, as we come to you today, we rejoice as Paul rejoices, understanding that Paul wore chains in order to alleviate the burden of those that had the chains of sin wrapped around them. And Father, as we come to you today to study, to see what Paul is saying to us, but more importantly, what you are saying to us, we pray that we would see ourselves in Paul's shoes. Guide us, burden us with the empty chairs and the souls that they represent. Bound in chains, and use us to help set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we continue the journey, we are going to be looking at the outward journey of the gospel. What we're going to find is when we are deeply connecting with God, is that God is going to do His work of salvation in the world of breaking the chains of sin and death over people's lives. Chains of brokenness. Chains of unforgiveness. Chains of addiction. Chains that have people held captive. God is going to do His work. But God has always done His work of breaking the chains of sin by means of His people. He has always used His children as the means to bring salvation to the world. The spiritual journey, if it is truly of God, always compels the believer to the outward call of sharing the gospel for this simple reason. Each one of us has been set free if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. Each one of us has had chains bound around us. And because we have experienced the joy of having those chains lifted off of us, the chains of sin, the chains of burden, it ought to compel us to feel the burden for those that still need rescuing, who still need their chains broken. You see, what we're not talking about here is we're not talking about empty seats and getting them filled. We're talking about what they represent, what they say to us about people's souls. And those seats represent something that for Paul was something worth dedicating his life to. Something that the Philippians shared in the ministry of Paul for. They shared in the suffering of Paul for the very same reason. For the proclamation of the gospel to lost sinners. Who all fall short of the glory of God. Yet God in His mercy and in His grace and in His compassion and in His love sets the prisoner free. The Philippians and Paul made other people's chains a priority. You see, what happens is when we've had our chains removed, we may have to take on someone else's chains. When we have been freed from bondage, we may have to enter into bondage in order that somebody else can be set free. Years after the stories of the New Testament that we read, the church in Rome was exploding with new believers. And how it happened was through persecution. Christians being bound in chains for the entire Roman world to see. Perpetua was 22 years old and she was a mother of a newborn child. And she lived in Rome in the late 2nd century. This young mother was thrown into a Roman prison just like Paul. The reason? She was a follower of Jesus Christ. If she would have been willing to deny her Christian faith in the public square, she would have been set free and Rome would have removed the chains from her. In the midst of their demands that she deny Jesus Christ as Lord and pledge allegiance to Caesar, her response was simply, "I am a Christian. I am a Christian." Perpetua submitted to death because for her, this was not a matter of life and death. It was a matter of Christ and culture. The Roman culture said to her, deny your faith and pledge your allegiance to Caesar. But Jesus says to her something very different. Jesus says to her, through words like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Rome said, preserve your life for the sake of the culture. Jesus says, give your life for the sake of the gospel. And because of the chains of Perpetua and other martyrs just like her, the church exploded in Rome. The church flourished. People in droves coming to Jesus Christ because of these Christians that were willing to stand for their faith and to live it out publicly for all the world to see. Now, in American culture, I highly doubt that you will ever be called to die or to even be imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. However, for us, as Francis of Assisi said, we can live a living martyrdom. You see, for us, the chains that we might have to wear, the martyrdom that we might have to endure, we might have to wear social chains. Being one of those who is always talking about this Jesus character. You might have to wear the chains of interruption in your life that says, I might actually have to change my schedule and my life and the things that I do in order that I may make lost sinners a priority. The chains of inconvenience that say, we've got to do things a little bit different in order that chains on people's lives can be broken. There is a host of other types of chains that we could probably attach to that, but the point is, first and foremost, this doesn't sound very appealing. It's a bother. It's my life, and you're asking me, Pastor Danny, to interrupt my life for the sake of others. To which I would simply say, what is the value of a human soul? What was the value of your soul when somebody interrupted their life to share Jesus with you? The reason we can bear the chains of others is because if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, if we have truly been redeemed, if we can look back on the old person that we were and see, as Paul said, behold, the new has come, we can see our relationship with Jesus and the chains that we bore and remember how it felt to be set free. For he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And because we can recognize what God has granted us in His salvation and the work that He has done in us and for us, we ought to be compelled, as people that have been set free, to help set others free, to wear chains for their sake in the outward call of the gospel. Seeing that we may have to wear chains in order that others may be set free, what will the result be in our community? When we are willing to wear chains for the sake of others, our community is going to take notice. If we are committed to bearing the burdens of others in their chains of sin, our city is going to have to deal with us. When Paul lived out his faith before others, people noticed. And when Paul ended up in prison for the sake of the gospel, even more people took notice. Now, Paul wasn't this character that we have, this character in our minds of the guy with the sandwich board around his shoulders on the street corner or in the quad at the university shouting, "The end is near!" The way Paul did ministry was he entered the city and engaged the people. He actively engaged culture. He went into the synagogue. He connected with people. And in doing that, he was willing to share his life with others. Because for Paul, gaining attention wasn't the goal. For Paul, filling up churches wasn't the goal. For Paul, sharing the gospel was like breathing. If I don't do this, it feels like dying to me. Because of how much God has done in me and for me. And I'm going to spend my life, even if chains are necessary, in order that I can experience what God is going to do through me. When Paul lived a life in chains for the sake of the gospel and chose that rather than a life of comfort, the community had to deal with him. According to the text, the highest Roman authorities took notice of Paul. The palace and the palace guard was abuzz. There is this man, Paul, who is telling people about this Jesus character, and people are starting to believe him. Even though he's in prison, even though he's bound in chains, people are willing to follow this Jesus. I would dare to say that for each one of us, we should all desire to look like Paul. The greatest danger for the church in America today is not persecution. It's not even being bound in chains. The greatest danger for the church is to be ignored. I haven't been a Christian as long as many of you, but in the time that I've been a follower of Jesus, I have heard the repeated refrain that we need to return America to being a Christian nation. You know how you make a Christian nation? You make more Christians. That's how you make a Christian nation. You don't fight persecution laws. You don't get the right people into office, because historically that has never worked. If you want a Christian nation, you have to go tell people that they have a Savior who died for them. That they are desperately bound in the chains of sin and death, and that they can be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Help them to see their desperate need to respond to the upward call of God. The people in our city, from person to person, and as people respond to the gospel, as the ones that you love heed the gospel and are saved, that's how you make a Christian nation. The chains of sin and bondage have been laid upon people, and God has called His church to help lift the chains. And as we help carry the chains of those that need rescue, what happens is they, in turn, because of what they've been delivered from, help lift the chains of others. And the gospel goes forth. God has called us to join in one voice, in one spirit, in one effort as a church, to fill up our RSVP list for the celestial party as we desire to see people's chains be broken. What would happen in our city if the church committed relentlessly to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? What will happen in our city if we don't? Seeing that if we are willing to wear chains on behalf of others and that the community will take notice, how does the gospel proceed when we wear chains? When we wear chains for the gospel, we participate, but God does the heavy lifting. When we accept burdened, broken people for the sake of God's work of salvation, we participate, but God holds the key to those chains. Despite Paul knowing that people's eternity hung in the balance, he also knew something very important. He knew that it was not his responsibility to save these people. He knew that he could wear chains so that others could be set free, that ultimately it was God who held the key to unlock those chains and to unwrap them from people's lives. Paul went all throughout Europe and Asia preaching the gospel. And what he says in this text is that while he is in chains, the gospel is advancing. Why is it advancing? Because of Paul? No. Because of God. Because of what God does. See, it wasn't up to Paul. It was up to God. Paul was not concerned about the results, but what he was concerned about was wearing chains constantly so that people could be set free and they could realize what God was doing in them and for them. That they could see God as the great key bearer for their sins. What Paul knew to be true was that when he was willing to wear the chains, that God was unlocking the chains so that people could be set free. But he uses us to accomplish that task. And knowing that God is doing the hard work of lifting people's chains and being the key to set them free, what happens when we carry the chains of others? When we carry the chains of others, our confidence and our joy increases. I haven't been a Christian but for 14 years, but I can tell you this. As chains have been lifted off of people, as people have come to Christ, I've never seen anybody get mad that somebody became a Christian. I've never seen anybody angry that people became followers of Jesus Christ. When someone has the chains of sin removed from their lives and joins the community of faith, it is always a reason to celebrate. This is why the angels rejoice. And this is what will happen to us. As we hear stories of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, as we see the chains of sin broken in people's lives, it will inspire us, just like it inspired the brothers that Paul wrote about, who had even more confidence to share the gospel. When we hear of others in our community sharing stories of victory and of transformation in people's lives, our joy will increase. And we will have a much bolder witness for Him. 14 years ago, this man met me for the first time. And I was wearing chains. I was wearing the chains of sin. I was wearing the chains of being a bad father and a bad husband. The chains of alcoholism, the chains of adultery. And this man inconvenienced himself to bear my chains with me. His name is Ben Fleming. He's my former pastor. He accepted me just as I was, but didn't allow God to leave me just that way. And what he did in partnering with God to share the gospel with me was to lift the chains off of my life and to set me free from the bondage of sin. You see, what Ben knew was the value of a human soul. And when he saw that, he inconvenienced himself and wore chains for me because he knew that there was a seat with my name on it. Look at the empty chairs around you. They call out to you. They're not saying, if you fill us up, you'll make your church budget. They're not saying, if you fill us up, you'll be a good church. What they're saying is, there are souls out there that need the chains lifted. Are you willing to wear the chains of others? It's risky. It's dangerous. And that's why on the journey, as we seek deeper intimacy with God in the upward call, and as He transforms us in the inward call, together as a community, together we can make the outward call of the gospel to our city. And as we do it together, lifting chains off of people is much easier when you have more people to help do the lifting. Part of our journey, no matter how difficult, is to embark on the outward journey and proclaim the gospel regardless of the results in our city. You see, not only do the empty chairs have a voice, the chair that you're sitting in also has a voice. It says, your soul mattered to somebody. At one point, your seat was empty. And somebody helped to lift the chains off of you in order that you could occupy the seat that was reserved for you by God. Your seat in the party in which the angels rejoice. The angels are throwing a party for those that have been set free from the bondage of sin. Who's on your RSVP list? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would burden us now, that we would be a people that would seek to be radically transformed. And as we seek to be radically transformed, Father, we pray that we would see the chains of others in our lives and be about the business of doing Your work in the outward call of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.